Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening, or probably afternoon stateside, we're joined by Mike Brown, who is an animation and an entrepreneur from California in the US of A. And we met Speed Networking a few weeks ago. And I thought I'd get Mike on my podcast to tell everyone a little bit about himself and what he does. So how are you doing today, Mike? You okay?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yes, I'm awesome. Thanks. I'm enjoying life, so that's good. It's good to hear you're having a good time too. So,
yeah, things are a little crazy in the United States right now. If you're watching the news,
I've seen the news in the States, but things are always crazy in the States on the news anyway. So I try not to watch the news too much because it's depressing. So I try and live in my own positive bubble where whatever else is going on doesn't affect me, you know. So
that's a good thing to do. That's what's necessary. We need that right now.
We do, yeah. I think you can easily be brought down by other people around you, and I'm about bringing people up, and especially myself. So, you know, I'm all about happiness, fun, and enjoyment, because you only got one life. So I'll let the politicians worry about all the rest of that. They get paid to do that. I don't. I get paid to podcast and to connect and network people and, you know, and all that sort of thing. So that's what I concentrate on, my own job. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike, and what you do and how long you've been doing it for and that sort of thing, really.
Well, actually, I started drawing when I was about 5 years old, watching American football on television.
And okay, that's good.
I was a little kid. I picked up a pencil and started drawing. That's how it started. Then when I was a little bit older, I drew a picture of the nun when I was in Catholic school, and I got suspended. So that's when I knew I'd have an impact.
Yeah.
So it's kind of embarrassing, but not really. She had this crooked finger, and I had to do it, man. I just had to do it.
Did you turn her into a penguin, or did you just keep her as a person?
Well, it's funny. There was a different nun that we used to call the penguin. But she pretty much looked like a penguin, and I drew her with this crooked finger, and they passed it around the room. And when this one kid got it, he went, "Hey, look at this," and gave it to her, and I was in big trouble.
Well, I used to go to a Catholic school as well, but it sounds like you went to a Catholic school. So we used to have a few penguins around our place too.
Oh yeah, I had the old fashioned nuns wearing the habit. And all this stuff. I tell people I did 10 years hard time.
Oh, they were strict, Mike, weren't they? You were more frightened of the nuns than you were of the headmaster and stuff. Because in my school, the headmaster was a bloke, but all the nuns, I think the deputy head was a nun, and a few of the teachers and stuff. And you dared say anything to some of those nuns.
Oh, yeah. Ours had a ruler, and she'd smack your knuckles with it.
Yeah, definitely. I'd throw the board rubber at you as well.
Everything. She'd pick up your desk and turn it over if she got mad enough.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, I guess those were good times. They're memorable.
Yeah. It's also the
I just remember calling my mother and trying to explain to her what happened.
Well, I never had the cane. Did you have the cane as well? Or they just stopped that before I went to school?
What was that?
The cane or the ruler. Did you ever have that?
Oh, well, they mainly hit you with a ruler.
Yeah. I think I might have been hit with the odd ruler and a board rubber, but the cane had gone out by the time I went to school. But so obviously it's a lifetime fascination then with drawing and art and animation. So when did you sort of go professional with it and start making money?
Well, I used to be more of a salesman. And I went to art school, and then I had my life changed a little bit, and I had to go to work. So I became a salesman and learned a lot about people. And then one day I just got fed up. It was like, I'm tired of wearing the suit and doing all these sort of things. And I started, that was about over 20 years ago. And what's been interesting has been the digital revolution, because when I first started, I'm old enough that when they first started, there wasn't Photoshop and Illustrator and Animator and all that. So there was no school to go to. So I had to teach myself. So I came up with my own methods, and now it's evolved into what I'm doing now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to animate you.
Yeah.
And I'll do that using the style that's I've developed over the years.
Brilliant, brilliant. And I imagine over that 20 years, you've seen a steep curve, you know, a bit like that.
Wow. It's because it's actually more than 20 years. And now that I think about it, and the digital revolution, I'd say, would started, what, about 15 years ago? Or somewhere around
about 20. About 20. I think it started, the dot-com boom was around 1999, I think, wasn't it? So, you know.
My first computer, I spent $10,000 and I didn't know how to plug it in.
Yeah, I think I spent a lot of money on my first one. I got it on my nan's catalog and I was about 15. I think I was 11. And it cost a fortune, like, you know, but, you know, it was on the catalog. So it was just a little bit every month. And obviously didn't do half of the things that computers do these days, like, you know, but you used to be able to type with it, basically.
Oh, yeah, that's it. When you first got it, all you could do is type. But what my first true art computer, I spent $10,000, and I had to call a friend of mine to come over to plug it in because I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. It was like Photoshop 1, you know, version 1. Yeah. There was no layers. I had to figure out everything. It was really hard.
Yeah. But what an experience now looking back, isn't it? You know, all of that sort of steep curve, if you like. What I love about that is it gets you used to learning and developing, adapting, flexibility, technology, and all of those things, which obviously my guess is the pandemic hasn't been too much of an effect to you because, you know, you've learned how to use technology and online and all of the things that people have had to sort of pivot to, you know, if they haven't been doing that themselves in the past.
Well, one of the things I really didn't see coming was the cell phone, how that would really rule the world.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to make, when they first came out, were wallpapers for cell phones.
Okay.
Because there was no cameras when they first came out. And everybody had a Nokia. You know, who's got a Nokia now?
No, but, yeah, with the snake on it, with the snake game on it, the first game.
Oh, yeah. You know, all that stuff. And so it's really changed. And now it's like, what, 60% of people are going to use video or watching it on their phone. And what's weird is that also supposedly 93% of the time, they're holding it vertical.
Yeah.
You know, like with TikTok and Instagram.
I'm on my phone constantly, 90% of the time, probably. And I'm always holding it vertical.
Yeah, and at first, there's actually videos that you'll find online where they kind of portrayed vertical as being like an evil. It was like, don't hold your phone straight up and down while you're doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, now it's completely changed. It's just amazing how the public turns, but they turn slow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some things happen and you say, wow, you know, look at this. And then after a while, it's like, of course, that's what everybody does. And well, so what I'll probably do with your podcast that will do some animation, I'll do it vertical.
Yeah. Might as well go for the big market, isn't it? You know, I myself actually stopped using my laptop for about 5 years up until lockdown, up until March last year. I was hardly ever using my laptop. I only did it to do my website stuff and a bit of admin or something. But I did everything on my phone. So my phone was my office. But since Zoom has come along, I think Zoom's better on a laptop. So now I'm probably 50-50 now between my phone and my laptop because I'm doing a lot of Zoom.
For me, I use a desktop.
Okay.
And I use an iMac because for doing art and I've got dual screen and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not as phone centric as some people are, but I know the consumer is like you. Most people are looking at their phone and they're looking at vertical.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn the thing sideways. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, I'll only turn it sideways if I'm watching a long video or if I'm watching TV on it or something like that, because I do watch TV on my phone sometimes if I'm out and about or stay over a friend's or something. I watch TV in bed on my phone or something just to go to sleep to, you know?
Oh, yeah, the world stands quite a bit, but the phones are good. The phones are really good, and if you're on Wi-Fi, it's a little TV. It works really well.
Yeah. I actually got an iPad as well, so I watch TV on the iPad sometimes as well because it's slightly bigger than the phone, and you can stand it up as well because it's in a case that stands, you know, like a V case, so it stands, so you can watch it, you know, without having to hold it.
Yeah, I did, and for a while, I did a lot of drawing on an iPad, but I found it really changes how you draw.
Is it?
I always drew with a pencil, and then I use Adobe Illustrator, and I don't find that to be really, I can't do as well or do my style on a tablet that like I would do it on a desktop. So yeah. I kind of ditched the tablet for doing art. I do most of mine on a desktop.
Fair enough. And what are the sort of clients you tend to do most of your work for? Are there certain niches or niches, as you would describe them?
Well, what I used to do is I did a lot of explainer videos that would go through different things. Like I was doing like a lot of marketing for dentists and for quite a while, and also veterinarians. But now I'm looking at aiming more at like podcasters, and we're kind of adapting to the format for promoting cars. It's really weird, at least here in the United States, houses and cars are still selling well, like off of Zoom, which is really crazy. So I'm creating like, a spokesperson for a dealership, like a car salesman, and you can drop in the picture of the dealer behind with the car and do a sales pitch. And so we're looking at that's I've got a partner, and we're looking at doing a lot more of that.
A lot of car dealers send a lot of thank you videos after the cars, and they also send referral videos. So, you know, after they've had the car for a couple of months or something, you know, can you think of anyone else who'd love to be as happy as you driving a new Lexus now?
Yeah, well, part of what we also we're thinking of doing is like for a real estate, having a picture of the house behind you that you want to sell to the client and say, hey, you look really good in this house. You know, yeah. Sort of thing. And I hope you really like it. So it's a little personal way of doing like, a thank you card, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm excited, a little bit before you come onto the episode, we had a little chat and you're going to do some animation for me and for the podcast and stuff. And we're going to have a bit of a collab going on. And so, I know a lot of podcasters. I've got a mastermind called Strong Communicators with a lot of podcasters. And actually, since we also talked about Clubhouse, you just joined it yesterday and I was on it Friday. And since Clubhouse, I've got so many different podcast guests coming on my podcast in the next couple of weeks. And I'm appearing on their podcast as well because Clubhouse has just gone through the roof. And I've been on loads of, I'm a moderator of global speed networking events. But also I've been made a moderator in plenty of rooms, including lots of podcasting rooms. Because obviously I've been podcasting not for a long time, since March last year. So coming up to a year now, where I've done 833 or 830 odd episodes in that time. And that's normally about 6 years worth of work.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, because one of my original theories with this is making animation, one of the first things you have to start with is the writing. And so like they say, I've always heard if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. And so when you've got a good audio, then I can take that audio and turn that into an animation. So it's a way of expanding your audience from just audio to video.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So yeah, I think it's good for car companies and real estate companies, and there are some other sectors as well where you know there's a high ticket item and they like to invest a bit in their thank yous and their referral schemes and their videos and that. And I think animation it makes it a lot softer and maybe a bit of the slick salesperson in on there, you know, in real life. You know, it might be a bit harsh, but, you know, a bit salesy. Whereas it with the animation.
Well, what's tough to do sometimes is to make a good video. Is the lighting right? Is the background look good? Are you wearing the right thing? So when you have the animated format, you know it's going to look good. It just really has to sound good. That's and then you go from there.
Yeah. So it's an ideal solution really for people, you know, rather than having, you know, I think as well, like you say, the animation, if it's done right, it can soften up the sales process and make it a bit more, you know, relationship and emotionally centered rather than, you know, maybe a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sort of cheesy salesman, you know, trying to sound sincere, but really sounding like he's just trying to sell you another car.
I mean, one of the things I also do is sometimes what I do is text to audio. So I'll actually just take text and use an AI voice and make my own. I have a series I'm trying to sell that's a cartoon series about robots. And so I make the voices are all synthetic. Yeah. And but it's actually kind of fun to do.
Well, that's good. So you're trying to sell that to a network then, are you?
It's called Tomorrow's News Today. Tomorrow's a robot news reporter, and the show is all about robots and gadgets. And so I've got a microphone that talks, I've got a cell phone, I've got an old black and white television, I've got a refrigerator named Karen. And so if you ever hear about the Karens here that always complain about people, so that's, I've got a refrigerator named Karen.
For some reason in my head has popped in like SpongeBob and SquarePants, that type of animation. I don't know why, but that's what I can see when you were just talking about that, you know, all of those characters.
Yeah, it's kind of in that same realm, you know, and so I do social commentary. I've even broken off and done, I took two of the characters, the microphone, and this right next to me is a phone named Mo. And so I've done the Mike and Mo show. Okay. And they talk about, and they just talk about whatever. They're like a podcasting group of gadgets.
That sounds good. If you can find a Mo, I can mic the mic.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, the microphone character is good, it's fun. Yeah. So that's one of the ones I do with the AI voices.
Oh, that's good. But what I was going to say is, well, rather than sell it to a production company, couldn't you, I suppose you could sell it as a stream, you know, to a Netflix or someone like that, you know, or Disney.
I'm doing that, but what's tough to get is you need representation. You need the right kind of, it's very tough to sell to a network. It's very hard.
Have you tried going through the back door and speaking to the animators first? Because obviously you're an animator, they're an animator, animators get on, and then, you know, you use the animators to get to the chief animator gets it to the producer or the editor or somebody. It's about leveraging relationships to get into the right desk.
It's tough, but I'm using different platforms. There's one called Vuelr, V-Y-U-L-R. And that's for putting up your properties and for people to pick it up and things like that. Because it's quite a production, and because I'm doing it in 2D right now, and actually in reality, in the long run, I see it as being a 3D product.
Okay.
Because being that it's gadgets and things that they're more 3D oriented in a way. So yeah. Trying to get there.
I'm on a mission to become a global speaker, and what I want to do is speak about getting people to follow their passion, to find their voice, because I think a lot of people don't believe in what they do, so they're not passionate about it, they're not enthusiastic about it, which is why they struggle on things like YouTube and podcasting and social media. They struggle to say what they want to say or what they should be saying because they don't believe 100% in what they're doing. Whereas if you can actually find what you're passionate about and follow that, then basically you're in congruent with your true value system. You know, you're motivated to keep doing it, and you're motivated to tell everyone about it, especially if you can help people, then why wouldn't you want to tell someone about it? And I think, so if people can follow their right path, follow their passion to find their voice, then they'll have no fear and go onto podcasts, go onto YouTube, and actually share on social media, etc. So that's part of the mission that I'm looking to do, is to get people to be more vocal and use use their voice a lot more. And actually, if you can use your voice combined with a bit of animation in order to stand out in the marketplace, that's a perfect combination.
I wish I could do more stuff about nuns. That's where I first learned that that you can have an impact. If I could do some nun humor.
You should do some systematic jokes, or Nuns on the Run, like that series from years ago. That was a funny comedy series, a program, film.
That was with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, that was a sister act. I think Nuns on the Run was with John Candy and someone, two blokes who dressed up as nuns.
Oh, wow.
And they went.
Oh, wow. I don't think I ever saw that one.
Oh, is it you want to watch this really funny film? It's they're bank robbers or something, and they go on the run and they dress up in habits and go into the nunnery because they think, like, no one will find them. So it's really funny. It's really
sounds like a good idea. Maybe that's what I need to do.
You could do something on that. That would be a good animation. And why not? I haven't seen any animation with nuns for a while.
Yeah, the hard part of that animation is that it takes time. So you really have to pick and choose where, like anybody, writing music.
Yeah.
Any creator really matters to you at the moment, and run with it. And mm-hmm. Some things take long, some things are short. So I'm really concentrating more on short film. I could do more.
Yeah. Have you heard of Pantheon at all? Pantheon?
No.
Okay. Well, Pantheon is a subscription platform where you put unique content on and you charge a monthly fee for people to be able to watch that content.
Okay. Yeah. That was suggested to me like 15 years, not Pantheon, but that format like a long time ago. But it's like, you got to find your audience.
Yeah. But ultimately, you own the rights then, and you can sell to the advertisers and all the rest of that as well. So, potentially, I say potentially because it all depends on your marketing strategy, etc. But potentially, you could make a lot more money in the advertising revenues and the subscriptions, because not only would you start off with your rights for the animation you got now, but if you had a big Pantheon audience and following that you built up over time, my guess is you'd produce lots of different animations for them, because if you had a paying audience wanting content from you, then it would give you that incentive. If they're paying regularly and it's a decent number, then they're paying you to do the animation in their subscription fees.
I'll have to take a look at it. I hadn't heard of it before.
Okay, yeah. Well, it seems to be, fairly popular at the moment. And I'm just thinking about, go and find some buyers. But, there's lots of people, cutting the original way of doing things and finding the new tech ways, and there's, it's always worthwhile experimenting with these different things. It's just like if you could do the sound, you might be able to do an animated podcast. I've never seen one or heard of one, but you got synthetic voices. You could run a podcast for kids. Again, not something I've seen very often, or if at all. And I'm about a trailblazing, about doing something other people haven't done. So if you actually uploaded your animation stories, if they were good enough, if you listened to them, say, with your eyes closed, and could work out what was doing from an audio, you could start a kids' podcast and have a podcast cartoon.
Yeah, well, that's a theory that I've had for a long time, is that if it's good with your eyes closed, I can't mess it up.
Yeah.
If it's funny, it's funny.
It saves you a lot of time then in the animation and the editing and all that. You just use it. So to me, you could could have a podcast, which I haven't seen. I don't know if there's any kids' podcasts. It's a great idea. I might start doing one of my own, to be honest with you. I've never heard of a kids' podcast. Yeah, I've never heard of a kids' podcast.
Well, maybe we'll do something with your character.
Yeah, well, if you want to do that, I'm up for that. I love trailblazing. You know, that's how you really do make an impact in the world. But if you did a cartoon or a podcast, yeah, then that might be something that could blow up because it's something unique, which means you get press with it and press releases and all of that because it's unique. And then you actually say, well, I've got an animated version of this too. And because of the profile of the podcast, you start getting approached by people who are interested in the animation series. So you use the one thing to sell the other thing.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I hope you're always trying to do something that catches on.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to be innovative, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day, if you can create something that there's a captured market for, and robots, kids, animation, well, you know, that's not reinventing the wheel. It's something that they consume. They'll enjoy it, you know? If you can make it funny and you can make it sound good and all of that, then I can't see any reason why it wouldn't work on a podcast, because one of the main ways people consume podcasts these days is listening in the car while they're traveling.
Yeah.
And kids need to be entertained when they're in a car. I know they do have their iPads and stuff like that these days, but if you can produce something popular and funny and put a bit of kids' humour in it, I don't know if you've got all of that in there, you know, but if you've got that, I can't see any reason why it wouldn't work. As a theory.
I haven't really aimed it at kids. The robot show is kind of a general audience. If you like the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, the whole theory is they drew it for kids and they wrote it for adults.
Yeah, well, Disney are very good at that.
I'm not a kid anymore.
No, but Disney are the best. Disney are the best. They draw for the kids, but the stories for the parents. Because they know if the parents like it, then they'll take the kids more, and they'll sit through it with the kids more as well. So,
the drag about a Disney show is that most of the movies usually start out with the parent getting killed.
Yeah, that's it. The father dies a lot in a lot of Disney films.
Oh yeah, there's everything. Bambi. It starts out in the beginning, the mother gets killed. You know, it's funny. It's like. It's kind of like wearing a red shirt in a Star Trek episode. If you're wearing a red shirt, you're going to die.
yeah, fair enough. So that's an interesting conversation. I've enjoyed it. It's a little bit different than the norm. Tell people, obviously you've got your logo and stuff in the back. Tell people how they get in touch with you if they're interested in some animation or just connecting with you in some way.
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, and also my website is animatedshorts@z.com. And my email is idrawtunes@z.com, @gmail.com. And if you want to have a conversation and talk about doing like we did today, we came up with an idea and we want to do it. Contact me there, no problem. We could do a Zoom, we could do a FaceTime, whatever.
Yeah, brilliant. And I've never met a Mike I haven't liked yet. I don't know what it is, but I think Mike's always, in my point of view, I always get on with other Mikes, and I've done so today. I've enjoyed the chat. It's been really interesting. So thank you for coming on and sharing lots of interesting stories and information and knowledge about what you do.
Well, same to you, Mike. I like your name. You spell it well. It's always good to be a mic. Actually, I got suspended. Another time I got almost suspended from school is another Mike Brown got in trouble for smoking in the boys' room. What I didn't know was when he originally signed up for school, they saw there was a Mike Brown file, so they thought it was the same guy.
Oh, is it?
So they didn't make a new file. So when he got in trouble, my mother got the note saying I was suspended from school for smoking. And she's gone now, but I don't think she ever believed it wasn't me.
Damn, that's a shame, isn't it? That's a shame. But in fact, I told you about the emoji I use, which is the smiley face emoji with the sunglasses, because I'm always happy and smiley and with the sunglasses. But I also use, you know, the emoji for mic, for microphone. So I use the emoji for mic. I use the emoji for mic, and I use the strength, the Armstrong, for Armstrong. So I use that two emoji combination to signify my name.
That's great. Well, this is my microphone character.
He looks funny. He looks funny. He looks a little bit like, you know, the robot, the Disney series with the robot. He looks a bit like the top bit of that. You know the one.
This is Mike. So my animation of the Mike and Mo show is this character and the one that was on before.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah, I like that one a lot. It's interesting. It's good. It's a good animation. It's good because it's a bit abstract, if you like. You know, it's a little bit different than the norm, and I like that sort of thing.
Well, the thing is, I use the AI voice, and it's got an English accent, but I tell people it's fake. He really talks like he's from New York, but he's got a fake English accent.
He looks a little bit like Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, I never thought of that, but okay.
It doesn't look a bit like that because it looks a bit like the Sherlock Holmes hat, and then it looks like he's got his backlink glasses on or something like that.
He just kind of happened.
Yeah,
I came up with the idea and it just kind of happened.
I like him. He's good. I like I say, never met a Mike I didn't like, so he's added to the list. So actually, stay there a minute before we end the call. I'm going to take a picture of that so I can use it in the marketing. So just remind people again how they can connect with you while I grab my phone and take a picture.
Oh, well, you can get a hold of me at idrawtunes@gmail.com. And that's I Draw Tunes with a Z at the end. And my website's Animated Shorts with a Z. And that's where you can find me.
Brilliant, brilliant. I'm actually in the middle of doing so. I was updating my iOS whilst we were on, so actually I can't take the picture, but it doesn't matter. I can take one of the video when it gets uploaded. But actually send me a picture of Mike on LinkedIn or somewhere, and I'll put it in the description, or I'll put it somewhere when I can.
You can check out the whole show at tomorrowsnews.com. Tomorrow, okay. Like the girl's name, TAMARAS, tomorrowsnews.com. And it's got the characters, the full write up on the show, and a pilot episode, as well as the Mike and Mo show.
Well, I do a lot of networking. I haven't actually come across, I don't believe I've come across, I can't think right now, I don't think I've come across, like a kids TV editor or producer or someone like that. But I know a lot of people, and so I'll put some feelers out and see if anyone knows anyone. Because, if we could find someone to buy your animation series, then that would be a good deed done. So I'm more than happy to do that. But thanks very much for coming on the podcast and for sharing lots of useful information and how people can get in touch with you. And obviously, if any of my contacts want to contact Mike directly, then feel free to do so. Or if you want to come through me for an introduction, I'm more than happy to do that as well. So there's nothing else left to say other than have a great day, everyone. Have a great day yourself, Mike. And thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Cheers, all the best. Bye-bye.